Welcome to Armed with Truth, a podcast for youth. I'm your host, Lisa Brunel. My goal here is to empower the youth of today to become a sin-resistant generation. You youth are bombarded by Satan's temptations on every side, especially when it comes to immorality, lust, and pornography. I want to talk about truths that can strengthen you, safeguard you, and bring greater power into your life through the Savior Jesus Christ. Let's get started and be armed with truth. Today's episode is all about the truth surrounding family history and the ministering of angels. Ask yourself, what is Heavenly Father's personal message for you right now in the episode of this podcast? The Holy Ghost will testify to you of the exact message Heavenly Father has for you right now today. A couple years ago, Zach and I were awakened in the night by a phone call. It was a call from the local police department to inform us that our cows had escaped the pasture and were now roaming the streets of our small town. Now, this is not the first time that cows have gotten out of our pasture, but these particular cows, they were crazy. And on our way to bring them back into the pasture, we knew we needed a miracle. We said a prayer together and actually asked Heavenly Father to give us a miracle. We arrived and began to chase. There were three cows that were loose, and like I said, these cows were crazy. It was Zach, myself, and two policemen literally chasing them around the town. After about an hour and a half, we came to some sort of a standoff. I was standing in the middle of the main road through town, and it was my job to keep the cows from going past me. Me versus three crazy cows. On the cell phone, Zach let me know that him and the policeman were behind the cows, driving them my way, and to not let them past me. I was rehearsing to myself what had ensued in just a short few moments before that. The cows had busted through fences, ventured through people's yards, and left, shall we say, small gifts on driveways, and they were now still belligerent and headed straight towards me. They were supposed to approach me, take a hard left into the open gates of the pasture, and nicely go into their home. It doesn't seem too hard, right? Unless you're dealing with belligerent and crazy. Have I already said that a few times? I mean literally crazy cows. So let's just say I was nervous for their arrival. And then I saw them in the dark coming towards me. And as they approached me, it was almost as if they calmed down, got into a single file line, immediately turned hard left right where they were supposed to turn, and trotted calmly straight into the pasture. I was pretty blown away. Actually, we all were after the chase that had already ensued. We closed the gates, wrapped up our conversations and jokes about crazy cows and the presents they had left, and we headed home, still in the dark hours of the night. On our way home, we began to discuss the miracle that had just occurred. We recalled that we had prayed for a miracle, and we had received one. And then, in that moment, I had the distinct impression that my grandfather had been there helping us herd the cows. When that impression came to me, I thought, of course he was there. My grandfather had raised hundreds of cattle during his lifetime, and I'm sure he had plenty of experience getting wandering or escaped cows to return back to pastures where they belonged. It was a tender and sweet thought to know that he had been with us that night, there on the streets of our small town, there with the policeman and Zach and I, as an angel helping us through our challenges. Angels have ministered to man on earth throughout all time. The ministering of angels began with Adam and Eve, and it continues today. And angels, they don't just minister to prophets and the important people. They minister to me and you. Not just those we read about in the scriptures, not just those who have important callings or stations. The ministering of angels is available to each of us. In 2008, Elder Holland gave a talk titled, The Ministry of Angels. In that talk, he said this, I testify that angels are still sent to help us, even as they were sent to help Adam and Eve, to help the prophets, and indeed to help the Savior of the world himself. Matthew records in his gospel that after Satan had tempted Christ in the wilderness, angels came and ministered unto him. Even the Son of God, a God himself, had need for heavenly comfort during his sojourn in mortality, and so much ministrations will be to the righteous until the end of time. The ministering of angels goes hand in hand with family history work. In fact, it only makes sense that as we do family history work and we perform saving ordinances for our family members who have passed on, we're making it possible for them to become a more active and vital part of God's work. And I believe that part of that work for them involves ministering to us as angels. When I was 8 years old, we lived at the end of a street in a cul-de-sac. The street wasn't a busy street, and since a few of the houses were inhabited by kids, the entire cul-de-sac quickly became a neighborhood park. It was there that we played baseball games on the pavement, rode our bikes around, and just really made good use of our parents' tax dollars. One year, I learned a song in primary called Genealogy. The words went something like, "Genealogy, I am doing it." There's my singing voice for you. The song has since been revised, and now I think children sing the song, "Family History, I am doing it." Anyway, I loved the word genealogy, and I loved the song, and I sang it all the time after I learned it. I loved it so much that one day when I was playing outside on the sidewalk with sidewalk chalk in my cul-de-sac, I had an idea. I was a few houses down from my own, and I wrote out the words to the entire song, both verses, mind you, on the sidewalk. I especially loved the words, "Family living now and the ones who've died can all be sealed to me, and someday I'll meet every one of them, I'm sure as I can be. Oh, what joy we'll have when they say to me, 'We're all a family. I am yours and you are mine now through all eternity.'" So somewhere near the completion of my beautiful scrolling chalk words, the woman who lived in the house I was in front of walked outside to see what I was doing. She was an older woman, and to say she was unhappy was an understatement. She proceeded to yell about my insensitive act of writing my beliefs in front of her house, beliefs she did not have and did not want on her sidewalk. Her yelling brought me both to tears and to the lap of my mother. Now, I don't remember my mother's exact words, but what I do recall is that she wanted to help me understand the woman's feelings, but at the same time, she helped me feel emboldened in my beliefs rather than ashamed of them. An hour or so later, I was washing my beautiful, colorful words with a scrub brush and a bucket of soapy water off of that sidewalk. The good thing is, they were never washed away from my heart. We have been promised amazing blessings as we participate in family history work. We're not only providing saving ordinances for our ancestors, but we are also forming eternal bonds with them. These are powerful bonds with real people who can strengthen and help us in our lives. And when I say that they can strengthen and help us, I mean it literally. Our ancestors can be and are angels that help us. They care about us, about our lives, about our choices, and about us returning back to our Heavenly Father. And that means that they can give us strength in the spiritual and even in the physical battles and challenges that we fight right now today. That's right. There are angels all around us, all around you. Angels who love you and who want you to succeed. Angels who will help you overcome challenges, resist temptations, and make choices that will benefit you in your life. This help may largely be unknown or unseen by you, but there are also moments when you might feel angels help you or influence you, or you might even have sacred experiences where you actually feel of their presence. In 2 Kings, we can read the story of Elisha. The king of Syria had sent a great host to capture and kill Elisha the prophet. The scriptures say that they came by night and compassed the city about. Elisha had a young servant with him, and the scriptures say, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And her servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He sees the situation, and it is not a good situation, with horses and chariots everywhere, all there for the purpose to capture and kill Elisha. But Elisha the prophet knows something that the servant does not know. And the scriptures say, "And Elisha answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I have always loved that story, and especially the words, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." The horses and chariots of fire that filled the mountains were angels there with Elisha and with his servant. Remember that we too are in a war. We too are fighting a vast, great host. Consider your life, your challenges, your trials and struggles, your temptations and your sins and weaknesses. Do you ever feel overwhelmed or inadequate? Do you ever feel like a failure or even completely afraid? In such a state, you might ask a similar question as the young servant asked, "How shall we, or how shall I do?" I hope as we talk today, your eyes can also be opened, just like that young servant, to the literal horses and chariots of fire round about you, the angels on the other side of the veil that are supporting, strengthening, and loving you, helping you in your battles. I've said in previous episodes that I lived for a short time on the island of St. Kitts in the Caribbean. My husband Zach and our two oldest kids moved there, arriving by plane on New Year's Eve in 1997. It was a wild experience for sure, and although living on an island in the Caribbean sounds like a dream, it was very, very difficult for me. Our oldest daughter Maddie was 17 months old and our son Cole just 6 weeks old. I had never been far away from family before, and this was thousands of miles away. It was also in the days before cell phones. Yeah, that's right, I'm old. And when international calling was extremely expensive, so we didn't get to call home very often either. Zach was very busy with school going and class and studying long hours, often into the night, and I had never felt so alone and so desperate in all my life. It was by far the hardest thing I had ever done up until that point, and many of my days and nights were difficult, difficult struggles. I somehow learned to survive and find enjoyment and beauty there, and I was actually even sad 2.5 years later when we left the island for Zach's clinical year back in the United States. But the memory of those tough days and struggles and challenges is still vivid, and how I got through them was absolutely depending on the Lord and praying and praying and praying some more. A few years after we had returned to the United States, my mom told me she had made an interesting discovery. One of my ancestors, George Galbraith, was buried on the island of St. Kitts. At the time that she told me, I wasn't very involved in family history work, so I simply thought, how crazy is that? And I wish that I would have known so that I could find his grave. Well, I'll come back to George a bit later. I love going to the temple. The spirit of the temple is wonderful, and I love to feel the peace and the serenity there. But the feeling of the peace and serenity and joy and the spirit that we're promised as we attend are not the only things. Listen to me as I read from section 109 of the Doctrine and Covenants, the dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple. Beginning in verse 22, it says, "And we ask the Holy Father that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with the power, and that thy name may be upon them, and thy glory be about them, and thine angels have charge over them. Going to the temple arms us with power. It brings God's glory upon us and gives angels charge over us. Yes, angels get to have charge over us. That makes me think that the idea that we have guardian angels isn't such a crazy idea after all, right? It's a promise that we get as we go to the temple. The next verse is beautiful as well. And from this place they may bear exceedingly great and glorious tidings in truth unto the ends of the earth, and they may know that this is thy work, and that thou hast put forth thy hand to fulfill that which thou hast spoken by the mouth of prophets concerning the last days. So we get to tell the world about the truth of the gospel, and that the word of all the holy prophets concerning the last days will be fulfilled. We are truly blessed to receive great blessings from the temple, even the blessing of angels. And angels can help us in every aspect of our lives. Who better for those angels to be than our own family members and ancestors? And what better way to feel connected to them than to get involved in family history work? I want to be totally transparent here because I have not always been involved in family history work, and I haven't always loved it, and I haven't always even been able to bear my testimony about it because I didn't know much about it at all. My grandpa did a lot of family history work in the days before computers were available. I remember he had a whole setup in his basement where he had a desk and all these kind of yellowish cards, some kind of projector that looked at microfiche, and all of these things took up a huge space, and he would be down there working away, which I thought was really great for him because he was an old grandpa. But I didn't feel inclined to do it myself, and even just the physical space it took was overwhelming. But you guys, that was back in the 80s and early 90s, and now what he had set up in half of his basement room takes up a very small space on a computer or even a phone that fits into my pocket. Now, I have always felt strongly connected to my family and to my ancestors, and truthfully, as I grew up, I would often think about doing family history work, and in my adult years, I would often feel guilty for not doing it. I participated the tiny amount when we had special lessons in church about it, and I did always enjoy hearing others talk about it, but the process of actually getting into it for me has been very slow. I wish I would have known what I was missing. The flame of my love for family history kind of got lit several years ago when a dear friend of mine told me about an activity her family had done at a reunion. Her description inspired me to do something similar at my upcoming reunion. So using her ideas, I made special folders for my own family, parents, siblings, their spouses, and my nieces and nephews. The folders had a page for each ancestor, including all eight of my great-grandparents. On the page, there was a picture, a place to write details about them, and a spot to write a gift or a talent or something about them that maybe we too had or would like to develop. At the reunion, I had my parents talk about their own parents as well as each of their grandparents. And as they told about them, these people came alive to all of us, and we saw in them gifts that we too had, or gifts that we wanted. That activity was one of the steps that really brought me to love my great-grandparents more deeply and to want to know more about them and about my other ancestors. I've attended the temple regularly for a little over 5 years. Well, I would say I attend regularly before that, but when it was time 5 years ago, my two oldest children left on missions, and my youngest daughter started first grade, so I decided I would try to attend the temple every week. I had no idea that less than a year later, I would need the strength and help that the temple attendance gave me when my husband Zach would confess his pornography and lust addiction to me, and I would experience one of the most difficult time periods of my life. I didn't know that that was coming, but Heavenly Father did, and He inspired me to begin attending the temple weekly. I had a desire to take my own names, so along with attending the temple every week, I very slowly began to work on family history with some of the family history consultants in my ward. Brother Wallace is amazing. He has a knowledge of family history and a love for the work that is contagious. He and his wife both served family history missions in Salt Lake City at the Family History Center. Every so often, I would meet with him and we would work together to find names for me to take to the temple. And I started to feel the excitement that comes from doing family history work. I also began to feel added strength in my life, strength that I soon found, as I referred to before, that I needed so much. And then when COVID hit and temples were shut down entirely nearly 2 years ago, I still wanted to be part of this great work, and I couldn't attend the temple. So I decided to put my focus into family history and become more involved. And one of the things I did was simply just start learning about my ancestors. And as I learned about them, I wanted my kids to learn about them too. Brother Wallace showed me how to see if there were stories or pictures of my ancestors on Family Search. And this opened up a whole new world to me. All you need is a church account. Then you simply log into Family Search, pull up a person, and then across the top, when you click on a particular person, there will be a bar with several tabs. One of the possibilities will say memories. When you click on the memories tab, it pulls up pictures, stories, documents, and any other useful images that have been added to that person. If you have ancestors that have content under the memories tab, it is a great way to get to know them. My kids and I begin looking and reading stories, finding pictures, looking at documents, and it was awesome. This is just one of the many amazing tools available to you. There are other features where you can audio record your own stories, compare your face with the faces of your ancestors, look at your ancestral origins on a map of the world, and so much more. And these are all features that are there just in addition to searching for family members and finding names to take to the temple. Trust me, family history work is so much more fun and amazing than you even realize. In the beginning, I focused on just learning about my ancestors. I read the stories of my family members and shared them with two of my kids, Blaze and Trig, who were home during many months of the crazy COVID saga. It was so much fun and truly an amazing time. It was during these story discoveries with Blaze and Trig that I learned more about George Galbraith, the man I mentioned earlier. So I have to tell you about him because the story, it's just so awesome. George was an engineer who worked for the English government and had been sent to St. Kitts for work. He and his wife, Anne Wilkie Galbraith, had three young children, and she decided to follow him to this tiny little island in the Caribbean months later on a ship with her small children. I can only imagine what she must have experienced. Many similar things to me, I'm sure, but back in the 1800s, so probably way harder. She too left home, came to a strange place with her young children. George was 28 and Anne was 27. While they were there, there was an outbreak of both smallpox and yellow fever that ravaged the small island. The children got smallpox, and George and Anne both became severely ill with yellow fever. George died on New Year's Eve, December 31st in 1840, 157 years to the day before me and my husband, both in our 20s with young children, arrived on the same island. Isn't that just amazing? There are no coincidences. I've been able to learn more about Anne, how she had the gift of charity, and many times cared for others who were sick or lonely or distraught. She was loved by many. She left St. Kitts after George died and later remarried, joined the church, had more children, and walked across the plains as a pioneer. My ancestral line comes down through George and Anne's son, George Wilkie Galbraith, who I have also had the joy of learning about. I look back on my challenges and struggles in St. Kitts, and I know they were with me. I didn't know it at the time, but I know it now. and learning about the lives of George and Anne and their children has been a beautiful experience for me. I know they are some of my angels, and this knowledge has come as evidence of God's love personally for me. He's watching over me always, and many times His watchful care over me has come through angels. His watchful care over you comes the same way, even when you, like me, aren't aware or don't know about it. Learning the stories about ancestors was where I started, but I also made a commitment when COVID hit that I would replace my weekly temple attendance with weekly family history work. To do that, I definitely needed help because I had no idea what I was doing. So I contacted another family history consultant in my ward named Helen. Helen has been an absolute angel. She has shared her knowledge and talents with me, and through our time together, I've developed a true love for family history work, a deep and lasting love and friendship for Helen, and relationships with family members that I never even knew about. I now feel their strength and their presence in my life. I have found people that needed temple work done, and I have been working to have a list of ordinances ready. And now that temples are open again, I have been able to take these people to the temple. I think of them now as I do their work. I know their stories. I know details about their lives. When you know stories or details, your temple experience becomes so much more powerful. One particular sweet experience was sealing two twin babies to their parents. The twins had died within months of each other, both right around 1 year of age, and they had somehow been missed and not sealed as part of their family. Helen and I found them together, and then I was able to be proxy for their mother of these sweet babies as they were sealed forever to their parents. Often I am filled with excitement when I think of all these people. They're actual people who are now part of me and part of my life. They're serving and loving and helping me as I serve and love and help them, and they have given me added strength to face my own challenges. I look forward with excitement to the day that I will meet them face to face. President Joseph F. Smith often spoke about those who have passed on. I want to share some excerpts from a quote by him. He said, "Those who have passed beyond can see more clearly through the veil back here to us than it is possible for us to see them from our sphere of action. I believe we move and have our being in the presence of heavenly messengers and of heavenly beings. We are not separate from them." Isn't that cool? He's saying they are here. We're not separated. Heavenly beings or angels are with us. He goes on to say, "We cannot forget them. We do not cease to love them. We always hold them in our hearts, in memory, and thus are associated and united to them by ties that we cannot break, that we cannot dissolve or free ourselves from. So we are tied to them eternally." Then listen to this part. "And therefore, I claim that we live in their presence. They see us. They are solicitous for our welfare. They love us now more than ever, for now they see the dangers that beset us. They can comprehend better than ever before the weaknesses that are liable to mislead us into dark and forbidden paths. They see the temptations and the evils that beset us in life and the proneness of mortal beings to yield to temptation and wrongdoing. Hence, their solicitude for us and their love for us and their desire for our well-being must be greater than that which we feel for ourselves." So our angels love us. They care about us, and they care about what happens in our lives even more than we might care ourselves. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that amazing to comprehend and to dwell and to think about? I've been more keenly aware of angels on the other side of the veil since the passing of my grandson, Boston. He is one of my angels. And I have already had many sacred experiences where I have felt his presence and learned from him. I have felt his help as I have worked on family history, and I have gained a testimony that he and I are both part of God's work and that we can serve together even as we labor on different sides of the veil. I've come to know with even more conviction that those we love and care about who have passed on from this life can still be intimately involved in our lives. And I am so grateful for the blessing of angels available to me and to you and to all of us. I bear my testimony that family history work unlocks promises and the ministering of angels in powerful ways. I want to invite all of you, as you contemplate this coming year and your goals, to make a goal that involves family history work. Your efforts will unlock the promises of attending and ministering angels in your life. You will feel added strength and power to resist temptation and to overcome difficult challenges. You will be able to feel with conviction the same message that the prophet of Elisha told his young servant, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." Today's truth takeaways. The ministering of angels continues today. The ministering of angels goes hand in hand with family history work. Your ancestors can be your ministering angels. Your ancestors love and care about you, about your challenges, and about your struggles and your life. Family history work unlocks the blessings and promises of the ministry of angels. As you do family history and temple work, you will receive added strength and added power to face your own personal challenges and receive powerful promises. Let's return to our first question. What is the personal message that God has for you today? Is He inviting you to learn more about a specific truth, to make a change, or take a specific action? As you act on the truths you have learned, greater power will come into your life, the power and strength to follow Jesus Christ. I can't wait to hear what you do. You can let me know on Facebook and Instagram at Armed with Truth Podcast. Keep coming back. Heavenly Father has so much more in store for you here on Armed with Truth. Thanks for joining me here today on Armed with Truth. As we learn truth together, we become more valiant disciples of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a stronger part of His battalion, and a truly sin-resistant generation.